Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back, everybody. It is the IT Babble podcast. Tony, I don't know about you guys, but we have 1 week to go before winter break.
We have 1 week too, but I'm eating a cracker. Just give me a second.
Okay, no problem. Well, he's
eating. It was a mistimed bite.
Oh, that's not good. Or maybe it's great.
I was just trying to get one cracker in before we started, so I have some energy.
Energy is important.
It is. I've been up since like six with the 2.5-year-old, so I need it. I need the energy. Yeah, so we have 1 week, and then we have the holiday. So I think that's good. I think everybody needs a break.
Yeah. I think our teachers, our administration, our students are a little worn down.
I would like to give everybody some advice.
Go for it.
And I am giving this advice because I – basically, I'm not really on social media anymore. Almost all my postings are coming from blogs. Like, I'm not actually on the social media platform. And I closed my Twitter completely, not using it ever again. And I do use LinkedIn quite a bit, but for just building my network, I have, like, a goal to add people. And, again, that's usually just a circle back around with blogs and also jobs. Like I like helping people find jobs. It feels really good, right, when you help people find jobs.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, occasionally I will dip into Reddit. Occasionally. And subscription only, no surfing. It's like three or four little Reddits. Two are for IT, two are for EdTech and education. So anyway, somebody posted something about stress and I read it and then I gave them my advice and I kind of framed it like this. When I was 26, I left the country and I went to Japan. And I can tell you that moving to Japan without a very good plan, which is what I did, and without a lot of money, which is also what I did, isn't easy, and every single day you feel like you have maybe made the biggest mistake in your life. But after 2 weeks in Japan, I had less stress, and overall I was sleeping better, I was happier. And before I went to Japan, I was actually having all these like digestive issues, and I was living in America and all these issues, and they just went away. And I realized without the media, without the newspaper, without the news, the talk radio, all the other stuff, that all of my stress evaporated. Now, I had real stress, man. Like, I was in a new culture. I was basically completely immersed, which was the plan. But, man, that's easy to say. It is hard to do.
Yeah.
I was living in an apartment that I told my wife this the other day. That apartment was the size of half of my upstairs, which is about the size of a normal bedroom in America. And that's everything all in. That's kitchen, toilet, all of it. And it was exhausting. And with all of that, I was still healthier and less stressed out. And I had the same exact experience a few years later when I first went to China. And by the time I went to China in 2013, you know, social media had kind of been around since 2004. And I really got into social media maybe 2006, 2007. So I'd been on like 5 or 6 years. And when I got to China,
The Great Firewall.
The Great Firewall. And you're like, but Tony, you work in IT, do you have a VPN? Yeah, I had a VPN, but it's not that easy. Like, I know everybody's like, oh, it's easy. My brother's like that. He's like, just put this on your phone. It'll work. So what happened is I just got – there's a lot of things about using VPNs all the time that are freaking annoying when you're on your phone, and you need your phone all the time in China. So I just decided after a week, it just took a week. I had the apps, I had everything. I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to do this. So basically, I disconnected from social media completely, except for my Chinese social media, which really was just messaging. I didn't read anything. I just was messaging the small group of people I knew. It was the only way for me to stay in contact with them. And I had the same experience. After about 2 weeks of no social media, no like news, really nothing, my stress level went down, and I noticed that my overall level of aggression went down. So mm-hmm. when I was in Dubai, like I felt like my job was really stressful, and I was always getting in arguments, and I never really liked doing that, but it would just happen, and everybody else would do it too. So I never really got in trouble for it. Probably should have, honestly, like way too many arguments, unproductive. Heated meetings all the time, in and out of work. And I realized, like, again, it was media, and this time social media, amping me up. Yeah. And since then, I've been a lot more cognizant. And there's been a couple of times where I've relapsed, and my wife's been like, just remove it, stop it, just delete off your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? This is weird. So for the people out there listening, Tony and I,
social media.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, so Tony and I, before we start recording, we talk for maybe about 3 or 5 minutes. But he has his topics on the agenda. I have my topics on the agenda. But we don't talk about this. But I think, Tony, I'm going to be doing exactly what you... I was super stressed out last week. I really shouldn't have been. And it was definitely the things I was reading on Reddit, and it was things I was reading on CNN and BBC, and just the news that was just kind of floating around. I am, for the holidays, I am totally unplugging. I'm only going to be texting family. That's pretty much only it. I'm not going to really be surfing and looking up video game stuff, because I enjoy that kind of thing.
You got to take your phone, and you have to delete the apps completely.
Yeah.
If you want to get on your phone, you're going to need to log in the browser, which is annoying. You got to get off the apps completely.
Yep.
You can go to any social media platform. Actually, they all have a little 2 week rest thing you can turn on instead of closing your account. You should leave a message and do that. You're not going to miss anything. Okay. I know there's a lot of stress with the presidential election stuff going on.
And
it's going to happen, or
yeah.
It's going to happen, or it's not. You're not going to miss anything.
Yeah.
You really
yeah.
aren't. And it's just going to stress you out. Take this time to unplug, focus on your family, get some perspective. And that's just my advice. Like, if you're burnt out with all the COVID stuff, the best way to get past that is to just disconnect.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, you're not out there changing anyone's opinions. They're not changing yours. There's no reason. There's just no reason. You have all the information you need to get through the next 3 weeks. I promise you.
And I would just want to kind of stress this, that don't feel guilty about that. You're not abandoning or turning your back on anything. You're not being an irresponsible citizen. Your own mental health is just as important as your physical health, I think. And taking care of that, I think, is super important, because that's something that is in your control, something that you can do something about. And so just unplug. If there's something huge and revolutionary, like, hey, we're going to be able to, COVID has been cured, like overnight, there was a special rain and it cured it, or I don't know, something stupid or ridiculous.
You're going to know.
There's no
reality where 99% of the people are going to be first anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're going to notice other stuff. Like, this is what, you know, I found. First off, when you go off social media and you disconnect, if you're like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I've just realized I'm completely addicted to my device, like whatever, you're freaking out. That's normal. So next thing you need to do is get an ebook and start reading on your phone. That will help your, like, I need my phone problem. And I'm not joking. Like, you got to, like, kind of wean yourself off. So get rid of the apps and read. Just read. Go to Amazon and buy something. Or you can – I use this Libby app and subscribe through, like, the public library.
Yep.
And get all kinds of stuff. And there's loads of free books, too. I mean, if you like older stuff. But
Project Gutenberg. You know, anything that's out of copyright, you can probably find it on Project Gutenberg, which has been converts these out of copyright novels, plays, whatever, into EPUB format. So you can read them on your phone or a Kindle or on your computer.
Right. And so, you know, read, talk about what you're reading. And every time you feel like you just have to log into social media, do 5 push-ups or 10. Just
yeah, there we go.
I'm not really joking. Like, it will change your life. I firmly believe that.
Yep.
And we had an issue. And, Patrick, you actually gave me the idea the other day. Like, you were telling me about a parent who was really upset about something. And there were, like, 18 emails going around. And you were like, I'm just going to call this parent and work this out. And we had a similar issue at my school with an entire sports team of parents who were going off on social media about stuff and text messaging people. And I'm like, you know, we need to get a representative or 2 or 3 representatives for these parents and invite them to the campus, set up a little social distancing area, and let them talk to us and get rid of the technology. I'm like, all of this stuff just allows for anger. It doesn't really allow for productive resolution.
Yeah. And sometimes just confronting it, not in an adversarial way, but just in a, hey, we're on the same side here. So how can we better understand each other? Yeah. I think it's good.
Anyway, that's my advice. And I gave that advice to somebody this week, and I'm just going to keep giving that advice to people. Like, trust me, disconnect. This stuff, like, it could have been great and it had potential, but I think that people are just getting poisoned by it. It's the only way I can explain it. And I don't mean in a political sense. I mean in discourse, the way that people are speaking to each other. Mm-hmm. I can see it manifesting, you know.
Yeah.
Face-to-face should not be a Twitter conversation, but people are communicating like that. And it's I don't feel like it's healthy.
No. It's definitely not. It's certainly not healthy. Definitely not. But I'm definitely going to be. I was thinking that just last week. I was just reading things on Reddit, just on the front page, and because that's the only social media. And I just browse. I don't even have an account. I just kind of browse, and I was just sitting there, and then I was finding myself, you know, getting angrier or anxious or shaking my head, and then I was like, wait a minute, what? I don't know any of these people. I don't even know what the context of that little 30-second GIF is. I just put my phone down. I was like, I need to. So this holiday, I'm totally unplugging as much as I can and just being with family and friends. It's gonna be nice. It's gonna be really nice. So, but Tony, I do want to shift real quick and give a quick COVID update. We have been in distance learning since before Thanksgiving, but we've been given clearance from the mayor that we can start back. I mean, things could change, but after the winter break, we are going to be back in school because we meet a certain criteria that the county medical commission says if you can meet these criteria, you can go back in person. And so we are going to go back in person, which is good news. Distance learning is very, very, very stressful for everybody. for everybody. So it's great to finally get back. So I don't know how things are there in Jackson, Mississippi, but
I think you guys are dominating. Good job, Patrick.
Well, Indiana is not dominating. We have a very high spread rate here in the state. But I think people are just being a bit more rational and reasonable when it comes to spread. So and our school has not had any outbreaks. I mean, we've had students who have had COVID, but it's none of it has ever been traced back to the school. And when there was a chance that there was possibly COVID spread at the school, we quarantined an entire grade level, and it turned out that nobody in that grade level had got it. It was so Yeah, it's. I think we do. I think we act very appropriately to situations, and it's good. Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good that we're going to go back in person, and I think with the vaccine showing up around the country, people are very, very hopeful. And no, it's not going to be over like January 1st, but hopeful that kind of like a light at the end of the tunnel. Hopeful, like you know, we can kind of see where this will be eventually ending. Just kind of hanging on. So,
Again, and it's like so hard to say anything because you don't want to offend people, and I'm actually a completely apolitical person. So every time I speak to people, they're like, "You're this, you're that," but it's like I'm speaking to Group A, and they think I'm Group B, and I speak to Group B, and they think I'm Group A. I'm seriously thinking about selling T-shirts that say "Politically Homeless." I've been thinking about, like, I just need to sell these. There's got to be more people. So if I wear one, other people can wear them, and maybe we can get along. What I was going to say about all this is within any group, there are people who are stressed out. There are people who are kind of positive and forward-thinking. And then there are people who I like to call, like, kind of doomers. And that means that it doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter if it's COVID or fire drills. It doesn't matter what it is. They are always looking at the worst case scenario. And it's tough because they're not interested in information. They're not interested in even talking about it. Like maybe they're right. You're just like trying to get information. They're just not interested. They just think the worst thing is always going to happen all the time. No, it's not everybody, but, I do think it's kind of important to, you know, listen to everybody, but don't let those kind of people bother you because sometimes they're the loudest person in the group, but the rest of the group is probably either going to be really cautious or cautious and forward thinking, especially if they work in a school. And I'm that kind of person. Like I'm taking precautions. I'm cautious, but I'm like you, I'm looking for the end. I'm working towards the end. And if you've got somebody who's sitting around you, like there's no end, this is our life now. We can't ever do anything.
We're gonna be doing social distancing for the next 15 years.
You have two options. One, you can just tune it out and move on, or you can try to change the subject and help that person like move into something positive. But if you're just a normal person trying to do your job, that can really pull you down. Yeah. And there's nothing you can do. I mean, everybody's got, you know, their outlook and their opinion is whatever it is. But I have come to realize that in our current situation, those people are standing out more. And I haven't really found a way to engage them on the subject. So I have to engage them on another subject to make them laugh and to kind of make things like lighter. And that's just kind of my advice for that too. And I think, like, I know at my campus this week, there's going to be a lot of stress. This is why I'm bringing it up, because even though Christmas break's coming, a lot of people are worried that people are going to travel and what happens when we come back? And so I do think it's important, and I'm not saying to make light of the situation, but you should make light of a situation. There's always something funny happening. There's always some humor, and in the year, good, like in the semester, I mean, like really good. And, you know, if you can play some harmless pranks, I encourage that. I've always found this to be good. Buy people gifts, like little gifts. Do something nice for somebody this week. I just think along with the disconnecting for the social media, it's good to kind of end the semester like on a positive note.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing to cheer people up is show them glitches from Cyberpunk 2077, because there are a bunch of them, and they are hilarious.
Patrick, we need to do a whole episode on this. So here's the thing. I've seen a few things about this, and I just ignore it. What's going on, and how long would it take for you to explain it to me? Is it a game? Is it a movie? Like, what's going on?
So it is a game, and it was announced back in 2012. Now the company that makes a game is CD Projekt Red, and the game before this was, I believe, The Witcher 3, which is a great game and one of the most beloved games in the past 10 years. Like, hands down, just, it's like right up there with Zelda Breath of the Wild kind of thing. It's just everybody who plays it loves it or really enjoys it, and it's an incredible game. It really is. It's a fantastic game. And so everybody was really looking forward to this game, and there was some social controversy, but it never really gained a whole lot of traction. But then the game landed, and it's just marred with terrible, terrible, terrible technical problems and performance issues. And so there it is. That's all wrapped up. But if you go on YouTube and just look at Cyberpunk 2077 glitches, there are a bunch of them. And I have no doubt that they will fix these glitches. But it's not been
Is the goal of the game just to like make your hair colorful and wear different clothes? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know the whole story of the game. I've been trying to avoid spoilers and stuff like that because I want to play it eventually. And
Gonna get into it. We need to wait.
Yeah. Well, you see, here it is. I'm a cheap gamer though, Tony. I'm not a hardcore gamer at all. I'm a cheap gamer. I'm one of those gamers that will wait. Like, I'm going to play that game, and then I'll wait 2 years. And then instead of paying $60 for the base game, I'll be able to get the whole game and all the DLC for, like, $15 or $20.
No, that's a smart move.
It is. It is. And so I'm going to wait. I'm waiting on it. Because
but, Patrick, if you wait, how will you waste your money at the same rate as everybody else?
That's
a lose-lose scenario.
No way, Matt. So here's what I'm going to do. My wife and I are going to buy a house this summer or spring. So we have plenty of things to waste our money upon in the next 6 months. So lots of things to spend our money on. So not too worried about that, sir. But
all right.
Do you know one thing?
You know what I'm worried about?
What is it?
I'm worried about this game I used to play, Patrick, but for some reason it doesn't run in my browser anymore. Do you know what might be wrong with it?
I do. It is Adobe Flash, and it no longer will work in your browser. I think it might still work in Chrome. I want to try to bring something up here. I don't know. They just had a big update in Chrome. Let's see here. I'm going to try to... Let's see here, Miniclip. I wonder if Miniclip is still all... but anyway, Flash is finally about to die. And everybody makes fun and rips on Flash, but Flash was so important, Tony. Without Flash, there's no real interactivity between the user and the internet. Oh, man, I know you can't hear, Tony, but our fans at... Here we go. Let me pause that. That is definitely not a Flash game, but that's okay. I'll find some here. I think I can find some. Oh, you know what website, Tony, uses lots of Flash? I mean, a whole lot of Flash. Scholastic.com. You know, like you buy the Scholastic books. You know, the Scholastic book fairs.
Yeah.
So they have your teachers can log in. And there's all these activities like learning games and stuff, but they're almost all built in Flash, almost all of them. I'm not kidding. I mean, are they
going to change? No.
They're like, we're trying to. That's pretty much what they said. They're like, we're trying to. I've already informed a number of our teachers. In fact, I sent out an email about 2 weeks ago going, Flash is finally dying. If you use something that needs Flash, it won't. Just find something else.
I'm waiting for someone to be like, why can't I get this to work anymore? I need it to teach my class. That's what I'm waiting for.
It's coming. It's definitely coming. Let me see here if I can't. Because you have to log in for it. I don't know our school's login. But there is, you know, there's all these like games. Oh, hold on here. Scholastic Kids. Maybe this is it. Read or play. Oh, I want to play. Yeah. Oh, man. Here we go. Oh, that's a little video. Let's see here. Oh, boy. Maybe not. Maybe this is it. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get something here. Goosebumps. Let's see here. Maybe Goosebumps. Or is that just going to take me to where I can buy Goosebump games? Books, games. Let's see here, games. Oh, man. I'm just going to... Oh, here we go. Play now. I bet this is HTML5. It's Goosebumps. It's Goosebumps. Okay, here we go. Start playing home base now.
All right, Patrick, I think you're going down a rabbit hole.
Come on. Oh, it wants me to sign in. Oh.
I think you're going to have to edit this whole thing out. You're down a game rabbit hole. So we're going to come back.
All right.
So three, two, one. Okay, so okay. We had to edit and come back because while Patrick was trying to find games that still might work in Flash, he started playing them and he went down a rabbit hole. So we're back now.
I'm not. I'm done. I'm over it. Because adios Flash. It's gone. Find something else, people. Get out of there. Speaking of finding something else, Tony, I want to ask you a question about these new Apple MacBooks. They got this new processor in there. This is called the M1. It's their processor. It's not Intel, and it is performance wise, it's unbelievable, and battery wise, it's unbelievable. On a MacBook Air, it doubles the battery life, and it improves the performance better than pretty much any Windows PC, short of some like super duper decked out Windows PC for gaming or video editing or something like that. If you're a school and you're spending $800 to $1,000 on your teacher's laptops, what would be the argument to not go with a MacBook Air? Considering how powerful it is and the longevity of Macs, and
I have always been a fan of the Air for most teachers. And the only pushback I've ever gotten is that, like, on the MacBook, the screen resolution is a little nicer.
Okay. Yep.
That's really it. And sometimes the MacBook can have different ports, but I think the Air is definitely where you want to be for the price point. And for those of you who are wondering, you really have to buy the silicon. So I have been trying to buy non-silicon or laptops because I didn't want to buy them until spring.
Yep.
And because I wanted just to make sure the platform was the same. I mean, I didn't want to sit down and like work on trying to sort through all the various problems with a new platform. But,
yep.
I think recommending the MacBook Air to students and the teachers is the best way to go. I guess it's possible there could be some students who decide that they need something more powerful, but Apple actually, for kids, especially if it's BYOD and they buy the laptop from the Apple store, they have a decent exchange program where they can get some credit for their MacBook or Air if they wanted to upgrade. So
yeah,
but in general, like, I'm with you. I don't think you should buy MacBook Pros unless you're just trying to like prove something.
Yeah, and I can't imagine a school looking at Windows either, looking at like a Dell XPS 13 when the MacBook is, I mean, the battery life is they're talking like 16 to 18 hours for a MacBook Air for battery life. That's remarkable.
Yeah, we still have a lot of people who use Windows, like a lot of teachers, and it was kind of like a tradition, I think, at the school where teachers got to choose their platform, and the school's really proud of that. But in general, I can firmly say that there's nothing wrong with Windows 10. I use it all the time. Yeah. I own a Windows 10 machine.
Yep.
But comparatively, in terms of issues, sending instructions out, updates, I'm still happier with Apple. I mean, one thing I don't like about Windows is and I know everyone's like, oh, it's just a setting. It's just a setting. But there are so many computers that we have that don't get an update when they're supposed to if they're Windows. And we have them set up to where we can push updates. We can do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And all these little things break it. And then we also have issues with streaming where we're I wanted to make sure going through all this that teachers had as much flexibility as possible in their classrooms so they could rearrange everything for social distancing. So I made sure all the Windows laptops could stream to Apple TVs. And when they stop working, we have to completely reset the wireless system on the laptop.
Oh, gosh. What a nightmare.
And
yeah.
We put a shortcut on the teacher's desktop so they can do it if they need to, but like you should just be able to turn the streaming off and turn it back on, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's not, here's the thing, it would be easier if it was 100% of laptops, because then everybody would know how to do it, but
it's not.
It's like 10%.
Yeah.
And we can't find a commonality. You know, there's, it's just 10% failure every, so 10% of the laptops fail streaming maybe once every like 3 weeks, like in the middle of a class, they just stop connecting.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that stuff. And the other thing I don't like anymore with Windows 10, I don't really like the printing system. So when you do print discovery to see all the printers available and installation, it's a lot more cumbersome than it used to be. And Apple's a lot better for that. So if you got your printer set up where people can add their own printers, and maybe you have a large campus where you've got a lot of printing or adding other devices, the Windows device management seems to have gotten worse.
Yeah.
And I don't know how. Mac is still very simple. So again, I can send instructions to somebody running Apple, like newest operating system, like newest version of Catalina, not Big Sur, but newest version of Catalina, and those instructions will work all the way back through like whatever was before Mav. Like I think, what was it, Catalina, El Capitan, and Maverick, or
there's
those three?
A High Sierra in there somewhere.
Yeah. So basically, though, the instructions are almost exactly the same.
Yeah. Yep.
So people with older machines, students on BYOD who don't want to upgrade, I don't have to make multiple sets of things to make sure they get their stuff done. I have Windows computers for some reason that when they get the profile applied, like a third of them don't get the search bar, and we have to put it on manually.
Oh man. And
But it's set as, you know, a third of, like two thirds of them do.
Yeah. And I've had weird issues with Windows updates. Some Windows updates are huge and everything works fine. Then some of them, like for example, with the search bar, because Mac has something called Spotlight, and it's kind of like a system search. And Windows has that, it's built right there, usually at the bottom. It's like type here to search, and it's kind of a whole system search. It'll search everything. But it wasn't indexing the search for I would like to try to type like a program name that I have installed. It wouldn't know what to do. It would give me a web search. That's all it would do. And I had to manually tell it to re-index for the search.
Oh, man.
And it took hours because you're telling it to re-index this category, re-index this area, re-index here. It took hours. And even then, I would say I got about 80, 70%. And then 6 months later, there was another big update, and it fixed it. But it was, you know, Microsoft has had some issues with their Windows updates in the past year and a half.
And I think Microsoft really, I've been thinking about this a lot, because I've looked at the Azure platform, I've looked at quite a bit, and they have a new management system called Intune. And I think what Microsoft wants is, they don't want your company managing your laptops anymore. I think they want to be more like Apple, and they want people to buy like the Surface. They want integrated products, and they want you to install these like cloud-based services like Intune to do just app management. And I think what's happening is the development side of Microsoft has switched to that. No one's really maintaining the way like we used to run Windows internally. I don't think they have the same level of development. And unfortunately, because like you said, I mean, you have to be more careful with Windows if you have a lot of them, because you do have more virus issues, you have more ransomware issues.
Yep.
There's so many other things you have to watch out for. And if you're like, there's a ransomware for Apple, okay, there is, but I did a ransomware study in 2019. I did a full study, and 94.6% of all ransomware as of fall of 2019 was for Windows.
So
this is not really an argument. And the thing is, what I'm saying is, you got to manage Windows. You can't just let it run in the wild, at least right now. Now, I do think Microsoft's making a big move, and they seem to be building a lot of Linux options into their core. And it's probably for that reason. I think our next version, a true new version of Windows, is going to be something basically like Apple's. to eliminate these problems, but it's just not there yet.
No, it's not. It's not. I agree with you. I don't think that they're very concerned about the development of Windows. Microsoft makes most of its money from Azure and from its cloud services. It's not licensing Windows. It's not selling Office. It's all in the cloud, and it is huge. They are enormous when it comes to that. And
yeah, they are.
And
yeah.
I think that's where all their focus is. So if you're a school out there and you have people who are like, get them a MacBook Air. Now, if you're a school and you're rocking Chromebooks and you want to spend $400 to $500, Apple might have something at that price point eventually, but it's not there yet. It's not there yet. So, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they offer like a $600 MacBook like in the next coming year. I wouldn't be surprised about that at all. But I think a big question is if your teachers are rocking iPad Pros instead of laptops, where does the iPad Pro fit into there now that is actually more expensive than a MacBook Air?
So I recently did a price comparison. If I wanted to let kids bring a fully functional MacBook Pro like to school, and when I added all the stuff it would need, it was up to about $1,200. So I don't know how that really compares, but
yeah,
it seemed cheaper for me to, like, I think I'm at a point where I'm okay with students, if they meet certain criteria, being only on an iPad Pro platform, but they're going to need all the bells and whistles just in case. Like, they're going to need the keyboard. They're going to need, like, some kind of mouse. So the package I would put together would be the package that Apple recommends. I wouldn't ask them to buy, like, weird third-party stuff.
No,
because it's too hard. I mean, they can, but if I were recommending it, I would just include the stock stuff and the little stand to make it more like a computer when you need it to be. And in that case, it worked out to $1,200.
Yeah. Certainly not inexpensive, but hopefully with Apple, with their new silicon, their new M1, one of the things is that the price should hopefully come down eventually for it. But yeah, these computers are performing fantastic and huge, and I think Microsoft is going to be kind of forced to either work very closely with Intel to create an ARM alternative, or to go to AMD and start really just kind of optimizing and making Windows. In fact, they have a Windows 10X, which is coming out later this year, in 2021, sorry, which is supposed to be optimized for an ARM experience. So we'll see. We'll see. It'll be interesting. But all this, you know, is good news because it means you, the consumer, are going to have more computing power at your fingertips than ever before coming up in the next couple years. So it's going to be a real fun space to watch, which is good. Which is good.
Yep. That's really watch good. The space. Watch it.
Watch it. Watch it. So, Tony, you sent me a picture last week, and it may have changed my life.
Yeah, it changed a lot of lives, Patrick. So somebody left a Darth Vader on the side of the road, and the Darth Vader was about, I don't know, it's about like...
It's pretty tall.
Yeah, it's like 3.5 feet, 4 feet tall. It's pretty tall.
Yeah.
And it had some damage. And a parent brought it in. I don't know why. And then the office that they brought it to was like, I don't want this. So they looked at it, and they were like, Star Wars, IT. So then they brought it, and they just left it in front of our door. And I was like, is this a prank? So it's like, no, it's not a prank. You guys can have it. It was garbage on the side of the road. And we were looking at it. I'm like, what if we made this into an iPad stand for classroom streaming? And then this guy in my office was like, we use these things called clips, K-L-I-P, and they're used to hold iPads and put them on stands, on like microphone stands and stuff. And he's like, we've got a clip that's broken. I think I can get it to fit on Darth Vader's hand, though, because the hand, Darth Vader's hand was missing, ironically, missing. His hand was missing, and so this guy I work with took the broken clip, filed it down a little bit, got it onto Darth Vader's, like, in, he installed it inside the arm, used some epoxy to, like, fix it, and then it held an iPad, and it would move up and down, and then he drilled a screw in under the arm, so it can't go all the way to the ground. It stops. So it can go like chest level, and then it'll stay all the way up above Darth Vader's head, like he's got his hand raised with an iPad. And then we made an account for Darth Vader in Google, an email account. And so people have signed up for a raffle, and if they win, they get this in their classroom, and in the meeting, they can sign in as Darth Vader. So Darth Vader will be running the class and streaming.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. I love it. I love it. And for those people out there who need the visual, look no further than our cover art, which does change from episode to episode, I might add. And that is the Darth Vader with the clip holding an iPad. And I think the title is going to be impressive, most impressive. I think it's going to be our title.
Yep.
So, oh, man.
Got to find some humor. Got to find some humor.
You got to. You've got to. And the holidays are so close, ladies and gentlemen. Just unplug. Unplug a little early if you need to. You know, keep that work email on. Keep Slack on. Keep Microsoft Teams on if you have to. But Google Currents, God, that thing is terrible. You can turn that thing off. That thing is so not.
I don't
very
even know
good.
What that is, and I don't want to know.
Well, you've got it, Tony. It's only for the Google Enterprise people.
I know.
I think
I have it turned off.
You should. It's not very good. It's not very good. It's kind of like a social media. It was like, I don't know. I don't know. Google Plus, Google Wave.
I'm not going to implement any more Google technology unless I'm forced to for the next 6 months.
There you go. That sounds perfect. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, just kind of unplug a little bit. Coast into that break, if you can, obviously. And yeah, that's about it. I don't have anything else on the agenda. Tony, do you? Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Nope, that's it. We just have to edit out your trip into flash gaming.
I might leave it in there. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Oh, I don't know. I'm gonna put something in the agenda about it. No, but anyway, so for IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And we will catch you in the new year on the next episode. So stay safe out there and keep on babbling.